If you're tired of hearing about Maddie's high school baseball prowess, just wait 5 seconds until Anthony tells stories about his amateur tennis days.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. Thanks for joining us,
Maddie. That's pretty solid. Jay, that's a solid bump back right there.
Good.
Well done.
They're strong, man. They've done a good job with them. It's funny to get those going throughout our first week here. Jay Lou, it's time for us to head back out, man, to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Our guy Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus hopping on with us now. Sam, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Good, man. We're hanging in there. Fun talking about some NFL stuff with training camps rolling and all that stuff. Sam, before we brought you on, man, in our previous segment, we were kind of giving our take on the whole Earl Thomas deal coming out of Baltimore and him being released and all that. So kind of got a two-parter here for you on Earl Thomas. The player that he is now, what have you guys seen on film, and do you have a possible good fit for the 31-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, it's really two conversations because it's Earl Thomas on the field and then it's Earl Thomas that has caused a couple of teams and a couple of good teams in recent years to give up on him in pretty quick succession. So, look, for years, for his entire career, he has been the prototype for that single high free safety, the guy with all the range to get sideline to sideline, but also the range and knowledge and ability to read things to play that role closer to the line of scrimmage. And I think, honestly, that is the key to why he's been such a unique player and why nobody else has been able to find their version of Earl Thomas, is that he can do that closer to the line of scrimmage where he doesn't open up that big hole between the linebackers and the safety, and he can still make those sideline-to-sideline plays. And then we saw in Baltimore that, you know, they used him in a different way. They deployed him on the blitz. They had him rush the passer. They had him closer to the line of scrimmage. They let him cover some guys one-on-one in man coverage in the slot. They let him do an awful lot of things that he was never asked to do in Seattle, and he showed he can do that as well. So, you know, he's always been a player that I think guesses and gambles a little bit, and you have to take the rough with the smooth a little bit, but the things that he's good at are, they're genuinely transcendent. They're something that makes every offense that faces him have to figure out where he is on a given play and account for him. And, you know, last season his PFF grade wasn't quite where it was. It was still a top 20 grade among all safeties, but it dipped a little bit because of the guesswork and the gambling on those plays that cost him some big plays as well. But look, I think he makes pretty much every team in the NFL better on paper. There's very few teams that have a safety group that would not be better with Earl Thomas in the lineup. The only question is it worth bringing in a player that, you know, is successfully irritating a couple of teams in recent memory?
Sam, hey, it's Jensen. Let's stay in the AFC. Let's go up to Foxborough. And again, replacing Tom Brady, probably not going to be the easiest solution, regardless of who's in that quarterback room. But getting a report that Jarrett Stidham is, quote, several weeks away from being 100% and knowing that we're 3 weeks from the Patriots opener against the Dolphins on that first Sunday of the NFL season. It sounds like it's going to be down to Cam Newton or Brian Hoyer to be the starter up there, at least initially. Any new information you can provide us on what that looks like for the Patriots?
I think Cam Newton was always in the driver's seat to win that starting competition the second they signed him. I don't think it means that they bought into Cam Newton as, you know, the MVP that he was a few years ago and the answer to all their prayers. But I think his contract or his asking price just became too good a value to turn down. And his ceiling is still pretty high. And honestly, his floor is reasonably high when you consider the alternative options are Hoyer and Stidham. So the real question is going to be what that offense looks like with Cam Newton, because, you know, the ability that he brings in the run game was such a vital component to everything he did in Carolina. Do you go away from that now that he's as old as he is and that he's started to break down with all those injuries over the years? Do you at least go away from it early in the season only to unleash it in December or maybe January when you get there and you need that extra dimension? I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, first of all, what Cam Newton looks like, whether he's 100% healthy or not. And secondly, how much of his unique skill set do they lean into versus trying to keep him healthy and there for this team down the stretch.
Sam Monson joining us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He's Pro Football Focus's lead NFL analyst. You can go follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. Sam, I want to stick with the AFC and go to the AFC North because we talk a ton about the Bengals and Browns here in Ohio, but one squad I'm really interested in, because honestly, I have no idea what it's going to look like, at least offensively, Sam, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think everybody, not everybody, I think a lot of people are just kind of handing them kind of a new wave of positivity coming back with Big Ben and things are going to be okay. But I don't know, man. This guy's coming off the Tommy John, and I think you got other question marks surrounding that offense when you look at where they are right now on paper, because obviously we won't see them until the games count. What are you expecting to see from Big Ben and company on the offensive side of the ball?
It's really all down to Big Ben and what we get out of him. And I think you're right to be cautious. You know, even independent of the injury, like, he wasn't playing great when he went down. And the year before that, he wasn't playing very well either. That was the worst PFF grade since 2011 we had from him. And he was worse in 2019 before he got that elbow injury. So I think it is far from a given that Roethlisberger comes back as the great quarterback he once was. We may well see him declining and be a sort of shell of himself. But the good news is, almost regardless of what he comes back as, he's better than what they had last year. And this was a team that was only a few plays away from making the postseason and making some noise with Mason Rudolph and a guy called Duck throwing the ball for them. So, you know, regardless of what Roethlisberger is, it's an upgrade at quarterback. And then how good this team is going to be is dependent on where he is on that spectrum. If he gets back to being his very best, I think the Steelers are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They're right up there with the Ravens, with the Chiefs, wow, as a team that needs to be thought about in that bracket. But if he's somewhere between there and you know, the Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, then they're going to be a good team, but one that needs everything else to be on song to kind of make up that difference.
Sam, the Cleveland Browns, another new head coach in Kevin Stefanski, another new head coach for third-year quarterback Baker Mayfield up here in Cleveland. A lot of people feeling this is a make-or-break year for Baker. The offense, at least in practice, has been suspect at best. Nick Chubb escaping some concussion protocol. Looks like he's going to be okay. Expectations for the Browns offense now. Again, another new system for Baker to learn from and learn about, but also the weapons still seem to be there for success.
They are. And, you know, all the reasons for the optimism a season ago are still there. Everything we liked about this team this time last season is still in place, and they fixed a lot of the things that were wrong last season. You know, this is a system that's come in with Kevin Stefanski that has a proven track record of maximizing the performance, not just of quarterbacks, but of a lot of other positions as well. Offensive linemen are protected a lot by this system. And they've really gone out of their way to basically remove all of the question marks and put the focus squarely on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. And you can look at that two ways. You can say, look, all the pressure is off Baker Mayfield because they fixed all the things that were wrong with last season's offense. But you can also say now that means the only question mark left is him. And what is he? Is he the guy they thought they were getting when they drafted him and number one overall? Or is he the player from a season ago that started to lean into all the flaws in his game, started to, you know, bail from clean pockets and started to try and make too much happen, and things kind of spiraled downwards around him? We're going to find out this year. It definitely is a make-or-break season for him, but I think there are still the reasons to be optimistic that the system that's been brought in is good. The playmakers around him are good. The offensive line has had a lot of work done to it. And ultimately, even with Baker Mayfield, PFF now has like 5 years of data on this guy, and four of them have been good. You know, last year was the exception to the rule. So you have to expect him, I think, to bounce back some way towards what we saw from a rookie or even what we saw from him in college.
Sam, we'll get you out of here on this one. And it's just sticking with the AFC. I think a lot of people, when we talk about, you know, the real contenders in that conference, everybody goes to Kansas City and Baltimore. And rightfully so with the way they performed and all the young talent that they have, in my opinion. But this Tennessee squad, Sam, I'll tell you what, man, I think a lot of people kind of just brush over what they can be, because I think you look at some of the guys, whether it's on the defensive side of the ball, and they, you know, they brought back the key pieces on offense. I think they're kind of laying in the weeds, Sam, and they shouldn't be. I think they deserve a little bit more respect as we roll into the season.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for the top three teams in that division all being better than people expect them to, going on a run and being a contender. The thing that concerns me about the Titans, though, is it's what you said. It's that they brought back the key pieces from last season. I think they just kind of expect to be able to run it back and do what they did again. The problem is that what they were doing, I think, was kind of unsustainably good. You know, Ryan Tannehill was playing like the best quarterback in the NFL, and that's just not going to happen again. You know, Tannehill is better than we saw the tail end of his Miami Dolphins career, but he's not as good as we saw last season. Even in a better situation, he's going to regress, and he was fundamental to so much of what was going right, including how good Derrick Henry was looking. You know, Derrick Henry was a number 11 rusher in the NFL before Tannehill came into the starting lineup, and changed everything, changed the way teams were defending this offense. So I think you have to expect that offense to get a little bit worse, at which point a huge amount of focus then becomes on how good the defense can be. So I'm kind of with you, and I think the talent is there for that team to be a contender and to be a team that scares people. But I also kind of expect them to regress a little bit because of what was happening last season was just so sort of catching lightning in a bottle.
Really good stuff, man. He's Sam Monson, PFF's lead NFL analyst. Again, go follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. Thanks for hopping on and chopping up with us, Sam. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. Good to talk. Take it easy.